Major revelations this morning about the past. The BBC's Panorama programme has uncovered evidence that soldiers from a secret unit used by the British Army during the Troubles in the early 70s shot unarmed civilians. Speaking publicly for the first time, members of the Military Reaction Force say they believe the unit saved many lives. The Ministry of Defence says admissions by the soldiers that they sometimes operated beyond the law will be referred to the police. The news comes a day after the Attorney General, John Larkin, said investigations into killings before the Good Friday Agreement should stop. Most victims, survivors and politicians have expressed outrage and horror at what some are calling an amnesty. John Larkin's idea would mean deaths caused by paramilitaries, police and the army would not be investigated. Meanwhile, fears are being voiced about the cost of trying to police the past. A new report from the Criminal Justice Inspectorate says it will come to almost £190 million over the next 5 years. The Sinn Féin MLA, Mitchell McLaughlin, with us today. Morning, Mitchell.
Morning.
Good morning. And the NI21 leader, Basil McRae. Morning, Basil.
Good morning.
Why do you support Mr. Larkin's proposal? Basil McRae.
Well, the real challenge, I think, is to try and find some way of getting society to move forward. Anybody that hears the harrowing stories, of course, from the victims, their heart cannot go out to them. But as the Attorney General said, unfortunately, it looks unlikely that we'll be able to get prosecutions. And what I think is that the re-victimisation of victims, the constantly bringing up hopes and expectations that you're going to get a resolution for this, is actually not likely to happen. And it's not good for the victims and it's not good for society. And so I do think that we do have to find some way of putting the past behind us and moving forward.
And no prosecutions, an amnesty for killers?
Well, the trouble is, when I was on the policing board, I was very intimately aware of a number of high-profile cases, such as the Omagh bombing. And the difficulty of getting a prosecution cannot be underestimated. And when the senior legal figure in Northern Ireland comes out and says, I do not think you can get prosecutions.
No, he said, he didn't say you can't get them. He said the chance diminishes over time. So it's not impossible. Why as a society, Basil, do you not keep on trying? And why as a principle do you not tell killers and murderers, no, you'll be prosecuted to the day, we will be after you to the day you die? What's wrong with that message?
Because actually, when you look at the results that we've had 15 years and I think we've only had one prosecution. And with every year that goes past, you feel to gather information, it becomes more difficult. And you will not get prosecutions until and unless people are prepared to tell the truth. And I have to say, my experience is I do not think that people will come up and tell the truth. What you get is a one-sided picture. And when I look about how we deal as sympathetically as possible with those people that have lost loved ones, I really do not want to drag them through the past, to re-victimise them, and to raise their hopes that they might get a successful prosecution, when, in my opinion, and apparently in terms of the Attorney General, that's not going to happen. What I would prefer to see is that we have to find some way of drawing a line under the past, that we have to put all of our resources into looking after those people that were traumatised and victimised, and that we give our society a chance to build a future.
Mr. McLaughlin?
Well, I think Basil is addressing this in the strategic perspective, and much of what he's saying can't be gainsaid. My difficulty, and I spoke to this yesterday, is that the Attorney General's approach was done without an engagement, as far as I can see, without any engagement whatsoever with the families and the victims and the survivors groups. And that, I think, is, to put it mildly, the wrong way to go about it. So we were challenging his approach. He has, I think, put on the table an issue that has to be considered. In the light of today's BBC report, we are going to discover that yet again, you know, there was shoot-to-kill operations going back to the earliest days of the Troubles by British government agencies, and files were destroyed. The matter was kept a complete, you know, secret. No one was prosecuted. They got a de facto amnesty, and that has been a pattern throughout the following 25 years. So there are huge issues. because some of the prosecuting authorities that we're talking about are in fact turning a blind eye to the activities of state forces who were involved in murdering citizens here in Northern Ireland.
But you do not support John Larkin's approach, but it sounds to me like you support, you have the potential, Mitchell McLaughlin, to support what is behind his proposal, what he is suggesting. Is that true?
No, I'm not. He has gone, in my view, about this the wrong way, and he may, at the end of the day, have damaged the prospects of being able to bring a unified voice out of the victims' community with the views of the political parties. What we have is, some victims and victims' groups are campaigning for the truth and making it clear that that is their objective. Others are campaigning for justice and making it clear that they want to see people prosecuted, they want to see people go to prison. Mixed messages. We have the politicians, and it's little wonder that they haven't agreed when the victims' constituency are having such difficulty dealing with these complex issues. And the approach that John Larkin took, whilst he put the issue on the table, is, in my view, cack-handed. He did not engage with people who have very, very passionate views, and understandably, who have a view that is divergent from him. So how is he dealing with them, their feelings, and the danger of re-traumatising
this
people?
This is the chief legal advisor to the Northern Ireland Executive. Listen to your words. The chief legal officer to the Northern Ireland Executive, you're saying, approach this in a cack-handed way?
Yes.
This is your top legal advisor.
Yes, and I think that he made a serious mistake, and I'm not criticising his legal capabilities, nor am I arguing that I am that I know more about the law than he does. I'm not arguing that he is not dealing with some factual reality when he talks about how difficult it is to get prosecutions, but he has to be account and has to be held to account in relation to all of those people in our society who were scarred and damaged as a result of a conflict that lasted for so long. You don't do that by, issuing kind of a one-interview position. I think the position should have been processed. The Haas talks provides an opportunity to consider all of the options and perhaps move towards an agreed position.
It's my understanding, Mitchell, that the Deputy First Minister, Martin McGuinness, only found out about the Attorney General's proposal from a journalist after the interviews had been done by John Larkin.
Well, I have to say that applies to our party entirely. None of our spokespersons, and I'm one of the spokespersons on the victims' issues. I'm also the deputy speaker, the deputy principal speaker in the Assembly. The first I heard about it when I was listening to the interview on the airwaves. So there may have been an intention, which was to put a critical issue on the table. But, it's just the way that it was to be done. Was John Larkin unaware of the BBC programme that's coming on tonight on the Military Reaction Force, a shoot-to-kill unit in the British Army that was killing civilians in the early 70s?
So what is your party going to do about it in terms of Mr. Larkin?
Well, I mean, we have made our position clear in terms of his approach on this issue. That doesn't go to any question of his competency as Attorney General. This was an intervention in what is a public discussion.
It asks a question. Hold on a moment. It absolutely asks a question about the relationship between Northern Ireland's top legal advisor, the Attorney General, and the Deputy First Minister. You have a proposal. Here's the crack, right? If the way we collected water rates in Northern Ireland were to change, I bet you my house that every single one of you would have some type of coordinated plan to release that proposal into the public domain. It is how Stormont works. If we get right down to the bottom of, if parking charges were going to be collected in a different way in Northern Ireland, you would all know about it before it was released to the media. Let me make this point.
I think you're making the wrong point, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, you can say so in a second. Here we have an issue. It doesn't get more serious than how we respect victims in Northern Ireland, than how that message is conveyed to victims in Northern Ireland. And I'm hearing over the last 24 hours that the First Minister, the Deputy First Minister, the Victims Commissioner, the Attorney General, there was nothing joined up about it.
Well, we have made our position clear in terms of his failure to indicate to that very constituency. But a key point that I want to address which was implied in your question, is that what was wrong with policing and justice for so long was direct political control exercised by the Unionist Party 50 years in government, where justice and the police was the armed wing of the state. What we have now is a situation where the judiciary, where policing, is independent, still accountable, but independent. And on this issue, so also is the Attorney General. So he is not responsible to clear his views as a law officer with the First Minister. There is not that degree of political control where he can't speak unless he has a prior agreement with the office of the First and Deputy First Minister. He does have an accountability in terms of how he went about this particular issue and whether he consulted the very constituency that would be affected by his recommendation that we no longer have inquests.
Who is he accountable to?
He's obviously accountable in terms of his ability to do his job as Attorney General. And there is nothing in what he has done that would... Well, you asked the question. There is nothing in what he has done since his appointment that would draw or support the conclusion that he's incapable of providing that function. This
there's nobody suggesting
an issue that he attempted to address in terms of the difficulties he could see in bringing prosecutions. Why didn't he go back to the constituency, explain the issues... And, you know, to people who are sensible, who understand the issues if they're given explanation and who are given their place, well, he bypassed them on this occasion and went straight to the media. And I think for that he deserves to be criticised.
But the question, Basil McRae, let's bring you into this. And by the way, I have spoken to quite a few people yesterday who admire the Attorney General, John Larkin, for what he did, standing up, saying what he believes in. He probably knew he was going to take a fair amount of criticism for it, and he put it into the public domain. But the question remains, Basil McRae, why did he not brief the First and Deputy First Minister? Why did he not do that?
Well, that's really a question that you'd have to ask him.
We asked him to come on, he wouldn't do so.
Well, I can understand his position on that at the moment, that he's set out a stall and presumably he's standing by it. There is a dialogue that has to happen in our society. It is about, are we going to be fixated by the past, or are we going to find some way of moving forward with all sympathy to those victims? And the key thing that he has done, whether in the right way or not, is that he has opened the debate. There are too many people in our society that will not speak out, that will not stand up and say, this is where we have to go forward. And we do have to get some resolution, some way of moving forward from the past that is satisfactory for the common good to as many people as possible. And what we're doing at the moment isn't that. And so he has served a useful purpose in starting the debate, though of course we do need to find a way of making sure that everybody whose opinion matters is included in the discussions it has.
Well, it's a non-starter, isn't it? If you've got the DUP and Sinn Féin saying no, it's a non-starter. The DUP made it very clear yesterday, no amnesty.
The challenge for those parties that say no, the same as those parties that said no to the Good Friday Agreement, is what is the alternative? You were talking about news stories that were coming out perhaps tonight in Panorama. There's all sorts of whataboutery going on. Here is the reality for Northern Ireland. We are not going to be able to get a 100% satisfaction for every single person. There are going to be some really difficult calls that have to be made. What you do not want to have is a one-sided, protracted discussion where people play political football with the lives and the feelings of victims. We have to be more mature than that. We have to find a way of saying to those people that are affected, we will direct our resources to helping you in the best way possible. But we as a society have to be able to say what happened in the past, almost 40 years ago, was horrible, terrible, just the darkest days in our country, and we do not want to relive them.
Yeah.
Because if we relive them, if we go through every atrocity as if it happened yesterday, then we will end up going back to that.
Basil, for some of those people, it's not about reliving it, but for some of those people, it is, and you heard them yesterday, for some of them, it is unpalatable that, you know, you don't pay your TV licence in this country and you can end up in jail. You shoot someone through the head before 1998 and you can walk the streets.
And I absolutely and totally understand their sense of pain. I don't know if I can get down to the sensory that they don't have themselves. Every individual story that you hear just turns your stomach about what you hear. But what I have to say is that we have to find a way for those individuals of doing what is best for them as far as possible. But that we as a society, if we are forced to relive every atrocity, and you had a week last week where we were dealing with the Shankill bombing, the Grey Steel murders, the Mays escape, if you bring up all of these issues together, our society will rip itself to pieces. And by the time this is finished, there will be no Northern Ireland to pick up the pieces off. So I think that we have to have a mature political settlement that it looks after, as far as humanly possible, the rights and the feelings of those that have been victimised. But we must find a way of putting the past behind us.
But the right to justice.
No future.
Putting the past behind you. But the right to justice, is there actually a time limit on that? That's essentially what we're saying here. Is there a time limit, Basil? I've heard this yesterday, Basil, but it's simply not true, because as my understanding, part of the Attorney General's proposal is that even if someone walked into a police station and made a confession and did not ask for an amnesty, they would be given one under his proposal. So if you had someone who could not live with himself anymore, or herself, who had committed murder before 1998, if they walked into a police station, made a confession, wanted to pay their price to society by going to jail, that proposal from John Larkin would mean they would not be brought to court.
And here is the counter proposal. In 1998, as part of the Belfast Agreement, with a lot of heart-rending and unhappiness, we, the society, said if you committed crimes and were in prison, you got out after 2 years. This was really difficult. It was drawing a line under the sand. So the difference between what he's saying and what the current reality is, in my opinion, there is not a great deal of difference. But the real problem, and I can tell you this from personal experience on the policing board, is when you look to try and build a case in the most difficult of circumstances, and I look and I can refer directly to Omagh, it is not easy to do it, and the prospect of getting a prosecution is extremely, extremely slim. And all I can say to people is, if we go back down to trying to review every single case, every single thing that we do, I very much doubt whether we will get a satisfactory answer for anybody. But in the meantime, we will rip our society to pieces. We will put Northern Ireland back on the brink of where we were in the 1970s, and it is not the place where we want to be. And I have to say that society must find a way of moving forward, not back. And within that context, we must put all available resources not into investigating things that will not, I think, find the light of day, but into supporting those people that need support.
Mitchell McLaughlin.
Stephen, I'm just going to have to go into the funeral, but I want to make one last point. My party have put an alternative, and it's been there for 10 years. Now, 10 years. And it was interesting, last week in Sri Lanka, using the same language, David Cameron was talking about an independent international commission in relation to Sri Lanka. That is our proposition. Let's have a truth recovery process that is independent, it's international, and let people come and tell their stories. Let people who were victims and survivors, let those who were involved in the conflict tell the truth. And that, I think, is the proper way to go about this. I know that that John Larkin has done a favour in terms of he has concentrated people's attention, but he has outraged people's opinion, and I am seriously concerned that that will actually push back the progress that we were making towards agreed positions. Torturously slow, though it was, this, I think, has thrown dust in people's eyes, has created pain again, and has confused the picture rather than clarified it.
Well, you could say that actually what the Attorney General has done, what Mr. Larkin has done, is put, some people would argue, this country before his career prospects. You could argue that actually what he's done is very brave, that he has put something out that he knows would bring him criticism, and actually he thinks that a debate around this in Northern Ireland is very important for Northern Ireland. Mitchell and Basil, thank you very much indeed.